Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." I don't know how your week was this week. I don't know how your day was today. It's the last day of September. I don't know how your month of September was. I don't know how your summer was. Now that we've entered into fall, I'm not sure any of those things for you. They might have been difficult, they might have been troublesome, they might have been trialsome, they might have been absolutely wonderful. Good days, weeks, months, recent weeks, whatever the case might be. If I were to ask you how those time frames were, well, I hate to just oversimplify things, but I think that the answer could and even should be the same always. They were worthy of rejoicing in. If we're to take this truth that Brother Paul gave to us in Philippians 4:4 as being what it is, truth. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Or the King James says, again, I say simply rejoice. It's a double statement there of the same thing. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Simple. I like things when they're simple. I like things when there's not a lot of pondering that has to be done, when there's not a lot of meditation that's required. I appreciate the times of meditation that we have. I appreciate the times of pondering and seeking and furrowing one's brow as you consider the word. But as I always say, I love the meat pitches that go right over the plate. And this is one of those meat pitches for the children of God. Rejoice. Plain and simple. Always. That's what we're going to consider. As I was looking at each one of these choruses that we sang this evening, I think every one of them mentioned the day. And each one of them implied heavily, of course, if not actually said to rejoice. It was implied, it was inferred, it was stated, it was the act of singing it is rejoicing. But we see, well, we can turn to 118 of Psalm 118, verse 24, that often quoted verse there. This is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. That was the last chorus that we just sang. That thought is presented in that passage. There's another chorus that goes, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made, and goes on, we will rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, it's simple. It's a meat pitch. It's understood. We can take this one out of the park. It's simply an expectation for the child of God. This is the day, this is the week, this is the month, this is the season, this is the age that the Lord has made. And there is no suggestion here. There is no, well, there's no asking even. It's just a simple expectation for those of faith that we will rejoice and be glad in it. We will rejoice. No other reason is presented here for that other than that this is the day that the Lord has made. That's reason enough. We know that it expounds into a whole bunch of different things. The Lord made this day for a reason. He made each one of these seasons for a reason, however long your respective season is. He made it for a purpose, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. You can ask someone how their day has been, and they'll add qualifiers to it and tell you why it's been good or why it's been bad. But since we're talking about a good day, a good time, a good season, what do they typically say? How's your day been? Well, it's good. It's good. I'm breathing. What they say oftentimes. I've heard this one a couple times. How's your day? Great, I'm on this side of the grass. You know, I'm like, well, yeah, that's true. You know, I woke up this morning. There's constantly this presentation that their day is good because here they stand walking this earth, healthy perhaps, but without even mentioning their health, just that they're alive. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that they count that as being good, and I don't fault particularly the unbelieving, I don't fault them for saying that. Because it is a good day for them if they are an unbeliever. If they've never accepted the Lord, it's a good day for them to have one more opportunity, one more day, one more time frame to take to accept the Lord, to be presented the opportunity to know Him. So they should rejoice, even if they don't recognize exactly why it's a good day. They should rejoice and count it that it's good that they are on this side of the grass, as it were, so that they might take that opportunity yet again presented to them to believe the Lord. But we are the redeemed of the Lord, aren't we? We are saved. We don't necessarily look at just simply because I'm alive, well, that's what makes this day good. It's not only that we're just breathing because, in all honesty, We understand to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. We understand that to be on the other side of the grass, as it were, is a good thing. It's a good thing for us. Romans 8:23. If we wake up in the presence of the Lord, we're going to be rejoicing. The new creation will be there. The old creation will be left behind. It will simply be a time of praise and rejoicing if we were to go to bed and wake up in the morning in His presence. Rejoicing would come easy for us. But even now, while we're here alive and walking on this earth, Romans 8:23 tells us, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we have Jesus. He is our Savior, our Redeemer. His presence is within us. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. That means eagerly, expectantly, fully confidently. I'd say hopefully, except that that word, well, somehow conjures up that, man, we really wish that this would be so, but it is hopeful. It is an expectant, understood assurance. Well, we await the redemption of these bodies. We know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We know we'll be in His presence. And because of that truth, this day that we wait, this day that we're given right now, this week that we've endured, no matter how it might have been, no matter how poor, how frustrating, how stressful it might have been, man, it was a good week. It was a good week because we are 7 days closer than we were last Friday to the presence of the Lord. And that's not just wishy-washy, dreamy. That's not that. That's fact. The full presence of the Lord, the full understanding, the full rejoicing in our new creation, the full understanding of who He is nearer today than it was yesterday. I rejoice in this day the Lord made, in drawing me nearer to Him. If I told you that 5 years from now, there will be $1 billion direct deposited into your bank account. You might say, well, given what the inflation rate is right now, that might not be, it might not be exceptional. But even given the inflation rate today, $1 billion waiting for you in 5 years, you know what you'd say about your house? Well, you're responsible and you're good, godly people, so you'd continue to do exactly as you are. And you'd make your house payment. But you would have a certain measure of justification of saying, I can do anything for 5 years. I can do anything. This is no problem. I'll keep working. I won't stress. I won't, because in 5 years, $1 billion is waiting. And every day you'll say, I'm one day closer to $1 billion. You know, the fact of the matter is that the riches that are waiting for us vastly outweigh $1 billion. And this vapor of a life that we have, it goes by so much quicker in the light of eternity than 5 years in comparison with the average lifespan of the human being. A vapor of a life. We can do anything. We can do anything for the span of a life, knowing that, well, what awaits us is rich, rich, rich. And this day that the Lord has made has been made to prepare us for that day, to finish us for that day, to perfect us for that day, and all of those things that you all know. It's exactly what Paul was saying in that familiar passage in Romans 8:18. I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy. You balance them out, what's coming is not even, this isn't even approaching in weight, in measure, in mass, to what is coming at whatever time that the Lord has for us, by grave or by translation. It's exactly what Paul's saying. I can do anything. Anything. I can experience anything. I can endure anything, whatever the case might be, for 70 years, 7 years, 107 years, whatever the case might be. I can do anything until this time comes. It's worth it, and it's going to be revealed. And so that puts any day, any single day, the sufferings of this present time, all of them, that puts any day that the Lord allows to come into our life in the appropriate perspective. I'm rejoicing in this day, no matter what comes and no matter what goes. This day is a good one because the Lord has created it for my good. And I can rejoice in that. I can take joy in that. I can take pleasure and happiness in that. Rejoice always is what our passage says. That means rejoice no matter what. Jesus said this when He prayed to His Father. He said, and I know that you always hear me in regards to that term always. That word, if you look at it in the Greek, it's a compound word that literally means, I like how Strong's puts it, every when. You know what everywhere is? God is everywhere. He's here, he's here, he's here, he's here, he's here, he's there, he's there, he's everywhere. We don't say the word every when. We say whenever, and when we say, whenever you want to, that somehow implies that it's your choice, it's your determination, that you can select. I like the term every when because it's every minute, every moment, every season, every time, whatever it might be. Rejoice every when, child of God. That's what he's telling us to do. Bad day, bad week, bad summer, bad year. Been a rough adulthood for you? Well, this is the adulthood the Lord has made. And you can rejoice and be glad in it. Because it's one measure of time, whatever that time might be, one measure closer to presence with Him. Full presence with Him. Whatever the means by which we might find ourselves before Him, you're closer today. And He's doing a work there. One day wiser, I trust. One day more perfect. One day more finished. One day deeper in fellowship with Him. That's a good day, child of God. That's a good day. We can and we should. And by the grace of God and by His strength, we will rejoice and be glad in this day that the Lord has made. Every when, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, every when. And again, I say, rejoice.